بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم، برحمتك تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, authored by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, who was one of the prominent figures of As-Salaf, those who lived in the first 300 years after the prophetic immigration. In this book, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi radiyallahu anhu summarized the belief of the Prophet, the companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers. Those are called as-Salaf, the companions. That's the era of the companions, the era of the followers, those who learned from the companions but never seen the Prophet, and the followers of the followers, those who learned from the followers. These three centuries are known as the period of As-Salaf, As-Salih, the righteous Salaf, those who lived in the first three centuries, first 300 years. Since Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, lived most of his life in the 3rd century and died in the year 321, he is classified as one of the prominent figures of As-Salaf. He authored this book and he called it the Creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, meaning the mainstream Muslims are on this belief. The majority of this nation are on this belief. All the scholars at his time and those who came after him approved him, and even they made explanations for the creed that he authored. Many authored explanations for this book because of its importance. Because every single belief mentioned in this creed must be in your heart. As a Muslim, you must hold this conviction, this belief in your heart. What he mentioned here, when he mentioned about the attributes of Allah, when he mentioned about the prophets, when he mentioned about Al-Quran, about destiny and destiny, and other matters as well, that's what every Muslim must believe in. He said about Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah owns everything and nothing owns him. Nothing can be unneedful of Allah, not even for a blink of an eye. And whoever claims to be unneedful of Allah, even for a blink of an eye, blasphemes and becomes among the people of perdition. This whole universe, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything needs Allah azza wa jal. Allah ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Ghafir, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبِكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ O people, you are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't need any of the creations. إِن يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ Had Allah willed, Allah would have replaced you with a new people. So we are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah doesn't need us. Your heart beats by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. The blood runs in your veins by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know yourself, you don't run the blood in your body. You don't make your heart beat. You don't do this. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who makes your heart beat and makes your blood run in your veins. So you are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal at all times. And Imam Abu Ja'far is saying that whoever claims that he is unneedful of Allah Azza wa Jal blasphemes. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, Allah has the ghadab and rida. These are two attributes unlike any of mankind. Al-ghadab and al-rida in respect to people are emotions. Al-ghadab, anger or wrath, that's when your blood boils in your veins. When someone gets angry, his blood boils in his veins. That's called the wrath, the anger. This is an emotion. That's why you change, your eyes become red and so on. Your blood is boiling in your veins. This is an emotion. That's when referred to people, that's the definition of ghadab, anger. Also, ar-ridwa is satisfaction or pleasure. You are pleased with someone, meaning you have emotions of acceptance and satisfaction towards that person. That's the rida from the slaves, from the people. However, Imam Abu Ja'far radiallahu anhu is making it very clear, and you should know this. Remember what he said. He said, وَاللَّهُ يَغْضَبُ وَيَرْضَى لَكَ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْوَرَىٰ Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be attributed as having ghadab or rida, but not in the same way when these two attributes are referred to people. When these two attributes are referred to people, they reflect what? Emotions. But when referring to Allah Azza wa Jal, al-ghadab min Allah, we don't say wrath, as in some books, you know, when they translate, they say wrath of God. We don't say wrath or anger. We don't say Allah is angry with him. All these expressions are wrong to be used. Rather, the term ghadab, when in reference to Allah Azza wa Jal, it means the willingness to punish this slave. So Allah's will to punish that slave, this is called al-ghadab. Allah's will to reward someone, this is called al-rida. So when you say in Arabic, radiyallahu anhu, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him and raised his rank and will reward him on the day for judgment. So the will to reward, that is called al-rida when in reference to Allah Azza wa Jal. the will to punish, this is called what? Al-Ghadab. But when referring to people, when you say Ghadab and Rida, you are talking about two emotions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not attributed with emotions. These are for the creations. Then he said, we love the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, we do not exceed the due bounds in loving any one of them. And we do not disavow ourselves from any of them. We hate whoever hates them and whoever mentions them with other than good things. We do not speak but well of them. Loving them is in accordance with the religion, faith, and sincere obedience. Hating them is blasphemy, hypocrisy, and exceeding the bounds. The definition of a companion is that the one who met with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the normal way, in an ordinary way, during his lifetime, the one who met the Prophet during his lifetime, believed in the Prophet and died as a believer, such a person is called a companion. So he met with the Prophet in an ordinary way during his lifetime, believed in the Prophet, meaning followed the Prophet, believed in him, and died as a believer. Such a person is called a companion. Now Abu Lahab, he met with the Prophet in an ordinary way, but he didn't believe in the Prophet, and he died as a non-believer. So he's not called a companion. The companion is the one who met with the Prophet in an ordinary way, believed in the Prophet, and died as a believer. Such a person is called a companion. There were some who met with the Prophet, believed in him, but after the death of the Prophet, they apostatized, meaning they committed blasphemy. And they died as blasphemers. One of them went to the country of Ethiopia after the death of the Prophet, and he apostatized, and he became addicted to alcohol, and he died as a non-believer. When he died, they wanted to bury him. They dug his grave, they put him in that grave, and put the soil on top of him. They came the following day, they found the earth, spat him out, threw him out of the grave. They put him back again in that grave, and they put soil. They thought someone maybe dug his grave and took him out of the grave. They dug his grave again, put soil on him. The following day they found that the earth took him out. Then in the end they put some rocks on top of him above the ground. The earth didn't accept him. He apostatized after the Prophet. So although at the time of the Prophet he believed in him, but later on he apostatized and died as a non-believer, such a person is not called a companion. So the companion is the one who met with the Prophet in an ordinary way, believed in the Prophet, and died as a believer. That's the one who is called a companion. They learnt directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are the ones who carried the message to others. The religion reached us through the companions. They learned from the Prophet. The Quran was transmitted to us through the companions. That's why Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi radiallahu anhu is saying that the one who hates all the companions, all of them, is not a believer. The one who swears at one of the companions who met the Prophet, learned from him, commits a major sin. But to swear at all of them, that's blasphemy. To hate all the companions of the Prophet, this is blasphemous. Simply because the religion has been transmitted to us through the companions. So this is the first stage. Those learned from the Prophet directly and they passed on the religion to others, to the followers also to the followers of the followers and so on. So the one who hates or swears at all the companions of the Prophet commits a blasphemy. Now this does not mean that the companions were all of the same rank. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran this ayah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. Those who were the first to follow the Prophet and believe in the Prophet. Those are as-sabiqoon. From al-muhajirin, the immigrants, and al-ansar, the supporters of the Prophet in Medina. Those who embrace Islam at the beginning of the da'wah, those are better than others. Allah praised them in the Quran. Those have a higher rank. Take for example Khalid ibn al-Walid. Khalid ibn al-Walid, may Allah raise his rank, although the Prophet called him the sword of Allah, Sayfullah, and the Prophet praised him, but he was not amongst as-sabiqeen al-awwaleen. He wasn't amongst them. Despite his high rank, he wasn't amongst as-sabiqeen al-awwaleen, the first to become Muslims. Now, the first to become Muslims and to follow the Prophet were like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the rest of the 10 who received the good tidings from the Prophet ﷺ to be in paradise. Now, some of the companions committed major sins. One of them took from the spoils before the spoils were distributed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rightfully amongst the companions. He went and he took something from the spoils. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about him, he is in hellfire. And because the Prophet mentioned that, that means definitely such a person will go to hellfire. Because the Prophet named him. That is not easy. Can you imagine one receiving the news to be in hellfire? Someone to receive the news that said in the hereafter he's going to be in hellfire, the Prophet said about him, he is in hellfire. So this is not like Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali. He's not like them. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called after one of the companions many times in a day. Every time the Prophet would request that person to come to him, he was amongst the companions. They told him he's eating. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا أشبع الله بطنه, meaning, may Allah not fill his stomach. لا أشبع الله بطنه. So this person is not like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali. He is not like them. So the companions were not of the same rank. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, even once one of the companions who embraced Islam later swore at one of the companions who were amongst as-sabiqeen, those who embraced Islam at the beginning of the da'wah. The Prophet told them, he said, لا تسبوا أصحابي, do not swear at my companions. He's talking to whom? He's talking to his companions. But he is referring to as-sabiqeen, those who embrace Islam at the beginning of the da'wah. He said, لَا تَسُبُّوا أَصْحَابِي فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنْفَقَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفَهُمْ. He said, do not swear at my companions. And he is referring to the ones who embrace Islam at the beginning of the da'wah. Had any one of you given in charity what is equivalent to the mountain of Uhud, wouldn't reach by their rank when they donated amud. That's amud, handful or half of it. So even now, if a person were to put forth effort to be righteous, we cannot become prophets. Prophethood is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses amongst his slaves to be prophets. So it's not obtainable, not something that you can acquire. You cannot acquire prophethood, but you can acquire righteousness, wilaya. If you want to become a righteous Muslim, you can. You fulfill the obligations, you avoid the sins, and you perform a lot of optional, rewardable deeds, and stay like this, steadfast, for a period of time, you become righteous, inshallah. We ask Allah to make us amongst them. But even if you were to fast nearly every day, and to wake up at night praying and reciting Quran, you will never reach the rank of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and those who are like them. You can never reach their rank. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this clear in the hadith. He said, "Khayrul quruni qarni." The best of the centuries is my century, meaning the companions. "Thumma allatheena yalunahum," then those who come after them. This is the century of the followers, then those who come after them. And this is the century of the followers of the followers. So the best century is the century of the Prophet, meaning the companions. Then the followers of the followers. When we say that, it means in general, you say the century of the companions is better than the century of the followers. The century of the followers is better than the century of the followers of the followers. That's in general. But if you were to be specific and talk about individuals, you might find someone who is from the followers who is better than some of the companions. That's individually. Like this one, the Prophet said about him, he's in hellfire. However, one of the followers, meaning he never met with the Prophet, called Uwais ibn Amir al-Qarani from Yemen, the Prophet said about him, he is the best of all the followers. And the Prophet said about him, the best of all the followers is a person called Uwais ibn Amir from Qaran, the tribe of Qaran, then Murad, that's from Yemen. And the Prophet mentioned about him that he was inflicted with a disease called vitiligo, white spots, ugly white spots on his body, and Allah cured him of this disease, except what is equivalent to one dirham, meaning a small spot. So his body was cured from this ugly whiteness that's called vitiligo disease on his body, except for a small area. And he has a mother, and he is very kind to his mother. So the Prophet described him. Then the Prophet said, whoever meets him, let him ask him to ask Allah to forgive him. So if you meet with him, you tell him, ask Allah to forgive me. Let him make dua for you. He's the best of all the followers. So Uwais is better than that companion who took from the spoils And the Prophet said about him, he's in hellfire. Although Umar is better than Uwais, but Umar wanted to fulfill the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Uwais ibn Amr was very poor as well, very poor. And he's the best of the followers. He was wearing ripped clothes. And you can say half a shoe. It's ripped. It's not comfortable. He was happy. Umar said to him, we'll give you an amount of money from the Muslim treasury, like monthly payment, to help you. He said, no, I don't want to become a rich person, so I'll be delayed on the day of judgment from entering paradise. Because the poor people, Muslims, will enter paradise before the rich ones by 500 years, as mentioned in the hadith. So he didn't want to become rich. Now they compete to become rich. That one was running away from becoming rich. He doesn't want to become rich. So that's Uwais ibn Amr al-Qarani al-Muradi. So if you want to talk about individuals, you find individuals in this era or in this century who are better than some individuals in the previous century. But if you talk in general, you say the century of the companions is better than the century of the followers, and the century of the followers is better than the century of the followers of the followers. Then he said, we confirm that the Khilafah Caliphate, after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went firstly to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, distinguishing him above others and giving him precedence over the whole nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Afterwards it went to Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah raise his rank, then to Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah raise his rank, then to Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah raise his rank. These are the rightful caliphs and the rightly guided religious leaders. We don't speak ill of any of them. The companions agreed unanimously that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Caliphate went to Abu Bakr. They deduced this from the incident that happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his sickness that led to his death sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did the Prophet do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was dying, for about 3 days, he used to fall unconscious, then would become conscious again. And he asked for a container to be next to him with water in it, and he would take from that water, wipe his face, and say, oh Allah, help me tolerate the pains of death. Then he would ask, have people prayed? They said, they are waiting for you, O Messenger of Allah. Then he said, ask Abu Bakr to lead them in the prayer. They said to the Prophet, but Abu Bakr is a very soft man. So for him to stand in your position, that's not easy. The Prophet is alive. And for him to stand in his position where the Prophet used to lead them in the prayer and lead the Muslims, maybe he will collapse. Maybe you choose Umar to lead them in the prayer. He said, ask Abu Bakr to lead them in the prayer. So the Prophet insisted that Abu Bakr lead the Muslims in the prayer. Abu Bakr obeyed the Prophet and led them in the prayer for about 17 prayers or 3 days. Abu Bakr led them in the prayer. After the third day, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt with energy that he can go out. His house was attached to his mosque. So just a curtain would separate his house from the mosque. He felt with a bit of energy that he can go out to the mosque. People were waiting and they wanted to pray. And Abu Bakr was at the front to lead them in the prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he was leaning on two of the companions. He wasn't able to walk properly at that time because his body was weak. So as he came, Abu Bakr saw him, so Abu Bakr wanted to move back so the Prophet can be at the front. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Bakr, "You stay in your spot." And the Prophet prayed, he led the Muslims in the prayer while sitting. He wasn't able to stand. Abu Bakr was standing behind the Prophet, following the Prophet, and the rest of the companions were following Abu Bakr because they can see him. The Prophet prayed, then he sat on the pulpit, then he talked to the companions. He said to them, "There is a slave of Allah that has been given the choice either to choose the pleasures of this life or to choose what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for him. And he has chosen what Allah has prepared for him." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was with the Prophet most of the time, so he was able to comprehend what did the Prophet mean by that statement, that the Prophet is telling them, "I'm dying soon, and I chose to take what Allah has prepared for me in the hereafter, not these pleasures of this life." So Abu Bakr said, and he was crying, "We are ready to die for you, O Messenger of Allah." And the Prophet said, "Wait, Abu Bakr. There is a slave of Allah that was given the choice to choose between the pleasures of this life or what Allah has prepared for him, and he chose what Allah has prepared for him." Then he recited the ayah in the Quran and urged the immigrants to be kind to the supporters and the supporters to be kind to the immigrants. Then the Prophet went back to his home, and that when the sickness became more severe and he started falling unconscious because of the pain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in. His daughter Fatima looked at him and she started crying and she said, "Wa karbu abatah, wa karbu abatah." She's feeling sorry and pity for the pain the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was suffering. And the Prophet said to her, "There is no hardship for your father after this day." Then he called her, she came, and he whispered to her a few words. She started crying. Then he whispered other words. She started laughing. She was asked later on, after the death of the Prophet, about the reason behind this. She said, "He whispered in my ear and he told me that Jibreel used to come to me once a year to revise the Quran with me. So we revise it. This year he has come twice to me and I see that this is a sign of my near death." She said, so I cried. Then he said to me, "And you are going to be the first one from my relatives to follow me. And you will be the mistress of ladies in paradise." And she became happy because of that. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. The Sahaba prayed the funeral prayer for the Prophet. They buried him where he died, in the house of Aisha, may Allah raise her rank. They moved the bed, they dug the grave there, and they buried him. That's when you go to Medina now, where the Prophet is buried, that's his house. That's the house of Aisha, where the Prophet lived his last moment. Now the companions gathered and they said, Abu Bakr was with the Prophet all the time. He was the first one to embrace Islam amongst men. He gave all his money to support this da'wah. He was with the Prophet, and the Prophet kept him when he immigrated to Medina to be with him in the cave. And they started talking about the merits of Abu Bakr. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him to lead the Muslims in the prayer in his deathbed. And all these are signs that Abu Bakr is the most worthy of the caliphate after the Prophet. So they appointed Abu Bakr. And they all agreed. No one disagreed. So by consensus, they chose Abu Bakr to be the first caliph. Then when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was dying, he gathered the top of the companions, the righteous, the knowledgeable, and he said to them, I see that Umar is the most suitable to be my successor. If you agree, you can give him the allegiance to be the caliph. It's up to you. And they all agreed. And they appointed Umar to be the successor of Abu Bakr. Then they appointed Uthman ibn Affan. Then after the death of Uthman ibn Affan, they appointed Ali ibn Abi Talib. So in this order, then after Ali ibn Abi Talib, Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then Imam Abu Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, we bear witness that the 10 whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam named and gave the good tidings of paradise shall be in paradise, in accordance with what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam testified for them, for his saying is the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave good tidings to many companions that they are going to be in paradise and that they won't be tortured. But these 10 in particular, the Prophet mentioned them in one session. In one session, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah. Umar fil Jannah. I mean, Abu Bakr is in paradise. Umar is in paradise. Uthman is in paradise. Ali is in paradise. Talha is in paradise. Az-Zubayr is in paradise. Sa'd is in paradise. Sa'id is in paradise. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is in paradise. And Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah is in paradise. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned these 10 companions in one session. Those are called Al-Ashara Al-Mubashareen Bil-Jannah. The 10 who received the good tidings from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be in paradise. Abu Bakr is one of them. Umar is one of them. So if one hates Abu Bakr and Umar, he's not going to stop them from going to paradise. He's going to be harmed by his hatred. So they will be in the highest levels of paradise and he will go down in hellfire because of his hatred towards Abu Bakr and Umar. He won't affect them. The Prophet said about them, they are in paradise. So no matter what he does, what hatred he fills his heart with, this is not going to affect them. He's going to harm himself. The Prophet loved them, and they loved the Prophet, and they loved each other. Despite the fabrications that some people these days do, to claim that they were enemies, wal'ayyazu billah, never. I'll give you just some signs of that love they held towards each other. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose Abu Bakr to be with him in the cave. And Allah mentioned him in the Quran. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ He says to his friend, to his companion, and that is Abu Bakr. So the Prophet told him to stay and to go with him to the cave. That's one thing. The Prophet married his daughter. Aisha is Abu Bakr's daughter. He married her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married his two daughters, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, to Uthman ibn Affan. That means he loves Uthman. He married his daughter Fatima to Ali ibn Abi Talib. The Prophet married Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Just giving you all these links. The Prophet married Hafsa also. So he married the daughter of Abu Bakr and the daughter of Umar. And he gave his two daughters to Uthman and one for Ali. You can see the link. Then Umar radiallahu anhu married the daughter of Ali, Umm Kulthum. See how is that link? It's all linked together. What does that mean? They love each other. Ali radiallahu anhu had many children, sons. Other than Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, he had Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman al-Akbar, Uthman al-Asghar. All these were his sons. He called them with these names. What does that show? That he loves them. So they loved each other. It's not like as some people claim now that they didn't like each other. No. It was narrated that when Umar radiallahu anhu was appointed as the caliph, Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet, was in a session and he said to Umar, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, that the time you embrace Islam, you brought strength to Muslims. The time you immigrated to Medina, you supported Muslims and helped them to conquer it. To conquer Mecca. And your rulership, the caliphate, your caliphate, is a just one. So three things. He testified for Umar with three things. Umar radiallahu anhu, he knows Abdullah ibn Abbas. He's one of the scholars of the companions. He said to him quickly, do you bear witness on the day of judgment? Meaning, do you testify for me on the day of judgment with these three matters? Abdullah ibn Abbas started thinking about it at that moment. He didn't know what to say. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib Ali stood up and said to Umar, I bear witness for you on the day of judgment with these three matters. That's Ali. So Ali knows Umar. Umar knows Ali. Uthman knows Umar and Abu Bakr. They all know each other and they loved each other. And the Prophet said about them, they are in paradise. So that's it. So those who show hatred towards Abu Bakr or Umar commit major sins. But the one who shows hatred towards all the companions blasphemes. وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ Whoever believes well of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wives who are pure from all squalor, and his descendants who are clear of all defilement, is free of hypocrisy. Now, it is obligatory to show respect to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Allah called them in the Quran the mothers of the believers, ummahat al-mu'mineen. We are not allowed to marry any of the wives of the Prophet after his death. That's something specific for them. So, and Allah called them the mothers of the believers. And Aisha is one of them. The wives of the Prophet and his descendants are called what? Ahl al-Bayt. So when you say that term Ahl al-Bayt, you refer to the wives and the descendants. Now some people, because they show hatred towards Aisha radiallahu anha, they say the wives of the Prophet are not included in the term Ahl al-Bayt. Those are arrogant. Because Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, Rahmatullahi alaykum wa barakatuhu Ahl al-Bayt. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum Ahl al-Bayt. And that talk was addressed to the wife of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. قالوا أتعجبين من أمر الله. So they are talking to the wife, Sarah, the wife of Prophet Ibrahim. قالوا أتعجبين من أمر الله رحمة الله وبركاته عليكم أهل البيت. So they called her what? أهل البيت. So the wives of the Prophet and the descendants of the Prophet are called أهل البيت. Not only Fatima, Ali, al-Hasan, and al-Husayn, those are amongst Ahl al-Bayt. But the wives of the Prophet are also from Ahl al-Bayt, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran as being clean of any defilement and any indecent act. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared them from al-Rijis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared them from all these indecent acts. The early scholars of the Salaf and those who followed them, the people of benevolence, hadith, fiqh, and ijtihad, must not be mentioned except with good things. The one who speaks ill of them is not on the right course. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that the best century is my century, then the one that is after it, then the one that is after it. So those who follow the companions in righteousness, in knowledge, in fiqh, the top scholars, we don't speak ill of them. Rather, we talk about them with goodness. We do not prefer any of the walis of Allah over any of the prophets, peace be upon them. We say a single prophet is better than the walis of Allah altogether. Because Allah said in the Quran, after mentioning few prophets, وَكُلًّا فَضَّلْنَا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the ranks of the prophets over the ranks of all other creations. So one prophet is better than the rest of the creations who are not prophets. One prophet. So a prophet is better than an angel. A prophet is better than all angels. A prophet is better than all the creations who are not prophets. So that's the highest rank amongst the creations, prophethood. That's the highest rank. After the prophets come the top angels in the highest ranks, like Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, Azrael. Those come after the prophets. Then the top of the awliya amongst human beings, like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Then the rest of the angels, then the rest of the awliya amongst human beings. But the first rank, the rank of the prophets. No one can reach the status. Some people, I've read this in some books, to see the fabrications. They fabricated a hadith about the Prophet وَلَعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ And they said, this is not true. They said that the Prophet said, the scholars of my nation are better than the prophets amongst the children of Israel. This is a fabrication. The Prophet wouldn't say something like this. He wouldn't go against the Quran. وَكُلًّا فَضَّلْنَا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ And also some mention in their books that some of the a'imma, they call the like imam, the leader, they say some of those imams will be on the day for judgment in a rank that no prophet or angel, archangel would reach that stage. So they made the imam above the prophets and above the top angels. And this is against the religion as well. Then he said, we believe in the news of their karamas and in the authentic accounts told by them, by the trustworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported the righteous Muslims with karamas. Now, plural of karama. What's karama? Karama, it's like a merit. A merit to show the truthfulness of that righteous person. So Allah honors this righteous Muslim with the karama. Karama is similar to the miracle. It happens to righteous Muslims, so it's not called a miracle. A miracle is what happens to the prophets. So what happens to the righteous Muslims, which is an extraordinary act, what do we call this? Karama. Like, for instance, what is mentioned in the Quran about Lady Maryam alayhi salam, that she used to have the fruit of summer in winter and vice versa, and Prophet Zakaria asked her, where did you get that from? She said, it's from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah gives in abundance to whomever He willed. So that is a karama mentioned in the Quran as well. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, as Al-Hafiz al-Dimyati mentioned about this karama in particular, when Umar was in Medina and he sent the troops to Persia at that time, he sent them to Persia. Umar was in Medina, he was given the speech on Friday. As he was given the speech, suddenly he called the name of the leader of the troop, called Saria. He called him while he was given the speech. He said, Ya Sariyatul Jabal al Jabal. Meaning, oh Saria, watch for the mountain. Watch for the mountain. Now the Muslims attending the Friday speech didn't know what's going on. Why would he call Saria and he is in Persia? He's not he. So after he finished his speech, they came to him and they asked him, why did you call Saria? He said, it's something that happened in myself. So he didn't want to mention. It's not like now some people, they call themselves awliya. They walk extending their hands, kiss my hands, and they say, we are righteous, we have karamas, they show off. No, awali doesn't do this. Awali doesn't want to expose himself, would try to hide himself. So he said, it's something that happened in myself. He didn't want to mention it. Later on, when Saria came back, he said, we were attacking the enemies, then they retreated. Then they turned around behind the mountain and they were trying to attack us from this side of the mountain. Then suddenly we heard Umar saying, Ya Sariyatul Jabal al Jabal, watch for the mountain. So we changed our path and we went up to the mountain and we were able to defeat them. And that was the same time. Allah Azza wa Jal folded the land for Umar, exposed the land of the battle for Umar as if he's watching something on a screen. So he was seeing the whole battlefield and what's going on. So he said, Ya Sariyatul Jabal al Jabal, watch for the mountain, meaning they're coming from the mountain to attack you. Then that Sariya led the Muslims to the mountain and they were able to defeat them. This is a karama. Karama that happens to a righteous Muslim. Now, what does it do, the karama? It shows that this person is truthful in following the Prophet. At the same time, it's a miracle for the Prophet. Because this person following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly, for that reason, this extraordinary act happened to him. That means this is a miracle for the Prophet at the same time. So, we love the awliya, the righteous Muslims. We do believe in their karamas, because they mention in the Quran, and there are many other karamas as well that have been witnessed by many Muslims for those righteous Muslims, like Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, who was at the time of Musaylimah al-Kazzab, Musaylimah and al-Aswad al-Ansi. Those two claimed prophethood at the time of the Prophet, when he was alive. They arrested Abu Muslim al-Khawlani. They arrested him, he's one of the companions. And he was warning people against al-Aswad al-Ansi. What did al-Aswad al-Ansi do? He dug a trench, and ignited a huge fire in it, and he threw Abu Muslim al-Khawlani in it. He stayed in there, in the fire, till the end of the day. It didn't burn him. Then he said, we'll do it tomorrow. The following day, he ignited a huge fire as well, and they threw Abu Muslim al-Khawlani in it. Didn't burn him. Then the third day, didn't burn him. He can't burn him. Then one person said to him, if you're going to keep him here, he's going to turn people against you. Exile him. So he exiled him. He came to Medina and Umar radiallahu anhu welcomed him and he said, Alhamdulillah for making in this nation those who are similar, meaning in this manner, to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So as he was thrown in fire and it didn't burn him, Abu Muslim al-Khawlani also was thrown in fire and it didn't burn him. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we belong to the best nation. All what we need to do is to follow the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as we can. We ask Allah to make our end as righteous Muslims. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.